My own. Good morning to each one. I greet you also this morning in the precious name of Jesus, the risen Lord, the one who has risen from the dead this morning. I have a song that I'd like to maybe sing as a congregation. I thought maybe we'd try it by ourselves, but we'll just sing it. And maybe you can take the mic off this morning. 600 in the church. This day, Father, of being effective, Lord, the song service, and the beautiful exhortation, Lord, that we are, the sands of time are gone. We're appointed, Lord, we're appointed to die, Father. And we pray this day that we could be effective together as a group of brothers and sisters, that we could learn of you, and we can open up your word and be encouraged and to be inspired by your ways. Lord, we love you this day. We commit this service into your care. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I too again greet you in Jesus' name. It's a very beautiful morning this morning as I went outside and just kind of meditated and thought about the Lord. And I
have a few verses in Psalms 45 for some meditating thoughts before I get into the message the Lord laid upon my heart. Psalms 145, verses 18, 19, and 20, it says, "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. He also will hear their cry. He will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love Him, but all the wicked will He destroy." I'm encouraged with those verses this morning. The Lord will preserve all them that love Him, but the wicked He will destroy. So this morning I'd like to share a message that I've been thinking about. I wrote it up there. I titled it "A Vessel of Honor." I've been thinking about this for some time in my life. Been thinking on a vessel. We've been reading through the Word in the book of Romans on the vessel. And so many times when we share or when we preach, we kind of do what the Lord's doing in our own life and what we're reading and what we're studying. So maybe not everyone in the room here this morning is at the same place, but I would trust that we can be edified by this. I was edified, and my family has been encouraged by looking at some of these things. I've been challenged, I've been changed as I looked at this subject and how it applies to my life. How it applies today in my life, and then today we'd like to see how it applies into all of our lives, because I believe it would apply to all of our lives. I'd like to start with turning your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 18. We're going to take a lesson from the potter's house. Jeremiah chapter 18. Verses 1 through 7 and 8 there. It's a lesson from the potter. "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in mine hand, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them." I was blessed by that. As you read through some of this, Jeremiah, you'll notice in chapter 20 they smote him and they put him in prison. And they didn't receive a lot of this. But anyway, there's a lesson to be learned there. I've tried to learn a little bit of it and probably need to learn a tremendous more of it. I've tried to learn that the Lord is in heaven and He is a potter. And we are but clay. And he desires to form us. Verse 4, it says, "The vessel that this potter, this vessel he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter." It was ruined in the hand of the potter, so he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Simply, the potter had control of the clay, and he made the vessel to whom he wanted it, how he wanted it to be formed. I believe this morning that the potter, the Lord, Christ, the God Almighty, has control of our clay, even if we admit it or not, because in Romans we'll see that he fits some for destruction. "It is not the will of God that any man perish." Praise the Lord this morning. It's not the will that anyone is despaired this day and thinks that there's no hope for this hunk of clay. I've been there in my life. You know, maybe you've been there. Maybe you are there today in some areas. Maybe you feel discouraged. Maybe this hunk of clay isn't turning out right. But my plea is today that we would let it into the hands of the potter and let it be made a perfect vessel. And we're going to explain some of that by the grace of God. Anyway, we see in the potter's house is where one that has an occupation to make earthen vessels, physically here, made from clay mostly clay. Clay is a basic material from which vessels are made with. It has two important characteristics. It can be shaped, and it will retain its form, then harden when exposed to a high temperature. A clay vessel that has been sun-dried will eventually collapse if filled with water. But if that same clay vessel is heated under a temperature of 900 degrees Fahrenheit, its chemical composition and physical character changes. It hardens and no longer can be molded. And then a vessel in the Hebrew people was usually for an earthware. This is what we're going to try to draw a lesson. It was used for earthenware. They would put documents in it. They would put oil in it. They would put wine in it. And they would take a document and put it in a vessel, and they would seal it, and they'd keep it for... And so they wanted to make sure that they didn't have these vessels that were just sun-dried, because they would eventually break apart. They wanted vessels that were heated up to that 900 degrees Fahrenheit. Most of us would raise our hands as when the heat is turned up, is when we realize that our vessels are being shaped. Many times we don't like the shaping, but it's God's will that He shapes us. The meaning in the 1828 dictionary is to put into a vessel something containing that is earthly, not spiritually. Vessels of wrath in the contrast with the vessel of honor. There are persons that are to receive the full effects of God's wrath and indignation as a punishment for their sins. This makes me think, because I wrote some of these down, this makes me think of a time my son and I went up to the lake, went to estimate a job, I think, if I remember the day right. And as we were coming home that afternoon, we come upon an accident. We come upon a little red, looked like a $900 car. Looked like it just about couldn't make it. But anyway, this car come around the curve up there on the Crooked Lake, ended up in head on into a tree and just wrapped around that tree. And this guy, it just happened right in front of our eyes. And so me and Joshua quick got out, and there was a few first responders there right in front of us, and they were dragging this guy out of this car. Smoke was coming out of the hood, and they was dragging him out, and his feet were going all directions of his body, and it looked like a sight. As we walked over there to him, and I talked to him a little bit, and the man was totally wasted. His car, at that second, a few words of our conversation, we turned around, and his car burst up into flames. And he just looked at his car, and he didn't know what was going on. He was just wasted. And see, I see that as a vessel. I don't believe today that it was the will of God that he did that, but God allows that to take place. For an example, that we can take time and teach. Somehow, the God of this world, the devil, got him convinced that he could swallow up a bunch of whiskey or some kind of alcoholic beverage and get into this car and go uncontrollably down the road and turn out all right. And obviously, it's the mercy of God that he's alive, and it is the mercy of God that many of us have did that for years and made it home. Because it is the mercy of God. He is patient and long-suffering with man. It is his will that no man perish. And so we got to share with that man that day. It has to be, in order to understand a little bit of a vessel of honor, I just thought it'd be beneficial to see some vessels of dishonor. And I don't know this morning when that man started down this path that he's on, but I'm sure he just didn't wake up that morning and decide he's going to go get drunk and drive. But this morning, somewhere he started to fill his vessel with ungodliness, and we'd like to look at some of that. Where we start and where we end up. Where we start is the same place we end up. Where we start is where we're headed if we don't understand what we're filling our vessel with. A little bit of the opposite. To show us a big difference of life, turn to Isaiah. This is a little bit of that opposite we was talking about. Isaiah chapter 29. Verse 15 and 16, it says, "Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, Who seeth us, and who knoweth us? Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, He made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, He hath no understanding?" And as I read of that, I was thinking of what we shared earlier this morning. The prophets of God there could things being spoken in secret in another room and they could understand it. In verse 15, it kind of correlates with that. I thought that was interesting. It's inspiring to me. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. And they say, who shall see us? And who knoweth us? And I thought, such foolish things to fill ourselves with. But ultimately, that's what we see all around us. All around us, we see men filling their vessels with ungodliness and temporal things that end up around a tree, so to speak, in dishonor to their mothers, to their fathers, to their communities. Dishonor. My desire is that we would go to be an honorable vessel, to be a vessel unto honor and glory. Romans chapter 9. Verses 19 to 24. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay? For the same lump is to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory in the vessels of mercy, which he hath afore prepared unto glory. That last verse again was a blessing. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he hath afore prepared unto glory. And I know that sometimes there can be some, why should I try if God is already predestined everybody? But as we read the whole counsel of the Word of God this morning, it is not His will that any man perish this morning. We really see how it sounds when we look at the Word. When men say, why am I here? I don't deserve this. I don't belong here. I belong somewhere else. We're simply pulling ourselves out of the will of God. Many times is the case. In some cases, no, I realize that. But many times we're dissatisfied with our circumstance, and we question God and we question His sovereignty. We see here some dishonor when we see that happen. Why does God blame people for not responding? It's a question. Haven't they simply done what He makes them to do? When you read some of this, some of the feedback you get from some of these verses. Why does God now all of a sudden blame them? Why does He curse them? Because they're just simply doing what they were made to do in the light of a vessel fit for destruction. But no, don't say that. Who are you? We are mere human. We are mere human to argue with God. Should the thing that was created say to the one who created it, why have you made me like this? When a potter makes jar out of clay, doesn't he have the right to use the same lump of clay to make one jar of decoration and another jar to throw garbage into? The same way, even though God has the right to show His anger and power, He is very patient on those into whom His anger falls on. I don't know what all that means. I know that means to me that I don't want to be that dishonorable vessel where that is being fitted for destruction in this life. But I believe there are some. I believe there are some vessels that are being fitted for destruction because they refuse to allow Him to fill their vessel. We had a conversation a few nights ago about that. Why should we try? And today I think we'll see why we want to try if we get done. Because we don't want to be that vessel. God is sovereign and we aren't. God does already know the outcome of all people. Because He's sovereign. We're human. So we strive. We press on. As we look at this picture of dishonor, we can see that wherever there is a situation like this, it's disgrace, it's reproach, it's shame, whatever constitutes a stain or blemish in the reputation. And remember that in everything I just said, it is not the will of God that any man perish, but that would come to the truth. So I think this morning, God is still trying to select Israel. As we read in Romans, it was the selection of Israel. And praise God, today He's continually trying to select His Israel. He seeks to and fro, seeking that vessel to whom is open, to whom that vessel, that lid is off, and has dumped himself out, or herself out, and has opened up to the Lord. That vessel that is empty, that can be filled with the glory and the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. That our vessels can be full of glory and honor. Honor. We see in John 8, some of Jesus' words in John chapter 8, verse 49. It says there in 49, John chapter 8, verse 49, Jesus answered, I have not a devil, because the Jews were telling him that he has a devil. He says, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. Down further, Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. We see that Jesus there, if Jesus dishonored the Lord, They were trying to convince him that he was dishonoring the Lord. Jesus here was honoring his Father in heaven because he didn't say anything that his Father in heaven didn't tell him to say. The Scripture says that he did always those things that pleased his Father in heaven. That's Jesus, and he brought honor to his Father. And that way, that's why we are inspired to continue to try to with our vessels of clay to bring honor unto the Father and to our Father in heaven. Now we'd like to become, I'd like to share some practical, this has some practical points I'd like to share in this message. Before I share them, I would like to say that before we can be an honorable vessel, there are some key things that need to happen. We need to first have honor for the King of Kings. We need to be regenerated, as I think a brother was preaching last Sunday. We need to have a new life. We need to have a new system inside of us. And I trust that is what's going on here. God has delivered and set apart many of us and has blessed us with a new life. And now we have this earthen vessel. And when we do that, sometimes when we seek the Lord, and we submit ourselves to the Lord, and we strive to bring honor to Him with our lives, some won't see that as honor all the time. I believe that. Some don't always see that as honor. But in a long haul, a long life's pathway, honor is still part of our makeup. I remember a number of years ago I heard a message on honor down at one of the seminars, and then I never forgot that. Honor, to be an honorable vessel, is still part of our makeup. Every time a mother sees her son bring glory and honor to God, it's a blessing. It honors. They honor their mother. They honor their God and their mother. It's an honor that's God and man. Not always man. I did that disclaimer. But on the long haul, man will have no evil thing to say about an honorable vessel that serves God with all of his heart. In the long haul, especially at the last day on the judgment day. Ephesians chapter 6. I thought of something interesting this morning as I getting into some of these practical points, maybe before I get into it. The young people might think that I'm going to start targeting, but I thought of something as I looked at the young people in the Hebrew culture, as I did this week a little bit, and I thought about asking everyone that's 40 years and down to raise your hand, but I thought about this, everybody that's 40 years and up, raise your hand. Man, there's a lot of hands down. I'm not 40, so I can't keep my hand down. So, as we go through this, we'll see a little bit later on Paul's exhortation to Timothy about despising not youth. So you bear with us if you're a little over 40. We're gonna and try to inspire each other today to fill our vessels. Maybe yours are filled a little more than some of ours. Maybe you're down the road, but you bear with us today. I like to bear at home that we don't have long to live. I spent 2 or 3 days this week with my grandfather, and his vessel is decaying, and the doctor said he's gonna die. And so today I have some emotions probably played into some of this, but I would still like to lift up the standard of God and to bear home the truth from my heart. I listened to a message yesterday about false prophets, and the man shared spoke to my heart. He said, "We don't need to make up any more new stories. If you want to do that, we should just go try to be an eloquent speaker somewhere. I don't want to do that today. I don't want to be a false prophet. I want to speak just the word of God from my heart, what the Lord's doing in my life. And if it's something that's a little bit off, you can tell me about it afterwards, because I want to be a vessel for God. I want to be. I've been a vessel under destruction too many years." Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2 and 3, it says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long upon the earth." And I used to not like that verse. But I say that God has did a work in my heart. "Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long upon the earth." Long upon the earth. Jesus taught that some of the ways that you can honor your parents, and some of us are young people and not married, and some of us are married and have parents. And this would apply somewhat some difference, but yet it would apply to us all, because the Word of God is true. Financially is a big thing I think Jesus taught, because they were continually coming to the temple, giving the gift. And they said, "Well, I see you're suffering, father, mother, but I got to give this to the church, and later on I'll come to you." But I don't think that would be the will of God today. If you have an extra $100 in your pocket, don't put it into church. Give it to your father or your grandfather or your grandmother, whatever is fitting or whatever you feel led to. It's a way to honor them. It is a practical way that you can honor your father and mother. It will bless their soul. Because it's God's will, it's God's ways, it's not our ways, because our ways are selfish sometimes. Proverbs 23:15-26. It says, "My son, if thy heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Hearken unto thy father that begot thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begotteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." And then it gives some more there, but I'll stop there. If we continue to read that, you'll see why. "My son, that plea, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." 25, "Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice." As I thought of this, I read through this portion of Scripture, my heart was stirred within me for honorable children. And young men, and everyone, in that fact. For that matter, "Hearken unto thy father that begot thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old." Very profound. Very profound. I remember a brother shared with us one time that if he had only one subject to teach, he had only one subject to teach to his family or to a group of people, that he would teach them to honor. authority. He would teach them to honor their parents. And I don't know if that was word for word, but that was the gist of that message that I got. Salvation will not come without honor. You have to honor the Lord. You have to come to a place of submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then salvation will freely come. Very profound this morning. It is my prayer that everyone here, including myself, we would be more convinced than ever that God in heaven desires full control of these vessels, these earthen vessels, that He can form us into His image. As I thought of all that, as I thought of all this of honor, reverence, and expression of respect, of high estimation by words or actions, this was not part of my life, not just too many years ago. That's why I'd like to share my life. So maybe you, if you're a teenager, maybe you don't always understand something. I know I didn't. I was very disrespectful. I did not have the honor of God, first of all, in my life when I was a teenager. I went out of my house at home many a days, many a nights, with tears running down my mother's eyes, because I wanted to dishonor them. I wanted to be honorable to this world. I wanted to be fit for destruction, and I didn't know it. I thought I could drink poison and go to bed at night. By the mercy of God, He spared my life. And today I'm inspired by that. I'm humbled by that. It's the mercy of God that I'm here. It's the mercy of God that we're all here together as families today. It's the mercy of God. And maybe you're a son. Maybe you don't understand what your father's telling you. As I think of glory and honor of God Almighty, when you see a son honor his father and his mother, it brings glory and honor to the kingdom of Jesus Christ. When a son just pants after his father, and I know I'm saying all these things, not always saying to the Father in heaven, but I think I covered that. I don't want to keep doing that. Practically, there are things that continue to plague these earthen vessels. And I would like to think they're not. But through the few short years of my life after I become a Christian, the vessels that are all around us, and there's probably a few hundred of them, maybe 150, created vessels of God in this room today. Some of the things that we deal with, they're practical points. This is for young and old. Do we desire the honor of this world more than the honor of God upon our lives? Do we desire the honor of this world more than the honor of God upon our lives? And that could vary from clothing to business to you name it. That could vary. The field is open. But we desire to bring honor and glory to God with our lives in every detail. Every detail. Looks. Another point is looks. Do we care how we look? You know I did. I wanted to make sure that I had a $120 pair of cowboy boots on and a 6-gallon hat, and I wanted to go to the concerts, and I'm not telling you this because I enjoy it, but my mother and father would plead with me. This is fitted for destruction. And I just said, well, they don't understand what they're saying. And I know maybe they didn't in fullness, but they saw a little bit of my life. They saw what I was going through. And I should have listened. I got scars in my body because of them dishonorable decisions. Looks, trying to stay in style rather than listening to your parents. Trying to stay, you know, the styles are big. I remember shoes that we mocked people out for in school were $2 or $3 a pair, and today they're $50 a pair, and we can't keep them off the people. And I don't mean that because I'm negative. I mean that because it becomes foolish. And I remember getting a spanking when I got home because I mocked this boy out that had these $3 pair of shoes on. And hearkening to your parents, it gives us a clear picture. It gives us a clear picture of what this vessel is full of. I know these things are practical, but I spent a lot of time in the past here with a lot of young people and singing, and I've been blessed. I've been encouraged by your lives, so I want to inspire you to be a vessel of honor. I'm not sharing these things as negative things. I spent a lot of time, my wife and I were inspired. Our hearts were blessed. Our hearts were turned to you. We love you. We love everyone here. not just 40 and down, but all of you that raised your hands. We're coming. We want to press on. We want one generation after another to have vessels of glory and honor unto the virtuous character of Jesus Christ. My heart burns for those things. We all desire to be a blessing. Most of us would raise our hands. You want to be a blessing in your home? Yes, we want to be. Why can't you be? You can be. You can be a tremendous blessing. It's not just for youth. I wrote this down. Even though it is directed to you more, maybe today, to me more, because I consider myself a youth, which is true. But it has been said that the youth are the church of tomorrow. But I say that you can be a vessel of honor today. You don't have to wait till you're 30 years old. You can be a 17, 18, 19-year-old vessel of honor. And I see them. I see them here. I see young people just living for God, and I'm blessed. But keep it up. If you feel yourself backing off, maybe you care a little bit how you look. Just throw it away. It don't work. It don't work because I can testify of it. Maybe you care a little bit of what some of the peers think about you. Maybe this afternoon you're afraid you have to go out and answer to some peers. Maybe you have to answer some questions that are hard. But just answer to God today. Answer to the Lord and be changed into His glory and honor. Today, many people around us say, "You just don't understand what I'm going through." I remember many years of my life where I just knew that my parents didn't have a clue what I was going through. And I would tell them, and I would tell them. And my mother and father would say, "But you don't understand." And off I went. I beg us this morning, it's not true. It's not true. When your father or your mother or your church pastor or your elder brother, that they all raise their hands, if they come with us and they give us a little help, they give us a little nugget, take it upon our breast. It'll work. It'll work. If they have if sometimes people do that, and we're always concerned that it's the right motive, and we want to make sure that they're right before we'll respond. Well, we can respond because God will bring honor to that response. He'll bring glory to that vessel that just says, "That don't hurt me because I'm not my own. I'm a vessel that's given unto God." I shared that. Younger years, I didn't learn well how to hearken. But praise God for His long suffering and patience. And there are times that in this life, even now, that this vessel needs to be emptied and then refilled again. Because we live in a fallen world. We live in a world where we go out of this place today, and we enter into a realm of the world. Today is safe. It's a safe place to encourage each other in here. We have hearts that are serving the Lord. We are worshiping the Lord, and we are trying to learn of Him. So that's our goal today, that we would fit ourselves to face this world. Because this world has all kinds of things to dump into this vessel. It is a divine place today. It is a divine, God has, the Lord Jesus Christ has us all in a divine place to be able to be vessels into His honor and glory. So this morning, if we fill our vessel, I'm probably not going to write them down. Just if we fill our vessel this morning, I have two vessels drawn up here. I didn't write one, but one of them is a vessel of dishonor and one of them is a vessel of honor. This morning you can fill your vessel with dishonor. It's unbelief and rebellion and unthankfulness. And if you want to write them down, you may. Unthankfulness, rebellion and disobedience, unhappy, wrath, worldliness, fads and fashions. Can we see when we take this dishonorable fruit, when we take these dishonorable fruits in our life, it is like taking this vessel. Maybe, as I shared earlier, we don't always know where all of us are at. I know sometimes where I'm at, but it's one of the biggest inspirations to me when I come to fellowship on a Sunday. I come to fellowship on a prayer meeting evening, and there's a vessel that you can tell is just filled with honor and glory. And you know what? It spills out upon your life. Maybe you had a rough day. Maybe you had a discouraging day. But when we fill our vessels with this, all the words that I just read off, discontented, disobedience, wrath, pleasure, worldliness, fads and fashions, and then we enter into the fellowship, whether it's here or Wednesday or whether it's at a Bible study, we dump it out because these vessels are made to spread what we're made of. We take things in upon our life through the week, and then we come to church. And if we take negative things in, we come, and whether we speak them or whether we don't, we influence our brothers beside us. We influence them. We spill out. And so today, you know, I don't know, maybe you could answer for me better than I could answer for myself. There are times that I've probably spilled out some negative things in you brothers' lives, where you went home and you were discouraged. Maybe, and I don't know if this is a, there are places to dump, there are places to share things that are difficulties in our hearts. But today, my desire is not to do that. My desire is not to dump unhappiness on you, or wrath, or worldliness, or unbelief. You can believe today. You can be thankful. We don't need to be in rebellion. We can be submitted. We can be submitted unto our parents. We can be submissive in the local church body wherever we are. In this case, we're here. We can be submitted. It's healthy for us. It works for us. It makes us vessels of honor unto God, not unto man, but unto God. When we take a dishonorable fruits, as we just shared them, or we can, by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, fill our vessels with a honorable character of God's perfect will. We can fill it with faith and courage and submission and brokenness and humility, honoring your brother over yourself or your own idea. We can be teachable. We can be able to admonish. And I thought of that. We can be able to admonish, and we can also be able to restore. Admonish with restoration. Sometimes that can be a split-haired subject, but we ought to be able to admonish one another if we're out for one another's good. We can admonish one another to continue to bring honor and glory to His name and to His kingdom upon this earth. So we are able to admonish to restore. Isn't that a beautiful thing? If you admonish your children, if I admonish my children, I don't want to do anything that would harm them, but I have to admonish them occasionally. And then restoration is beautiful, and it brings about a peaceable fruit of righteousness. And so it is in many, many situations in life, and some of them that had their hands up that are 40 and older can identify with that. When there's restoration after an admonishment, it's a beautiful thing. It's God's will, and that's what we want to do, to be an honorable vessel to God, to Jesus Christ. Our vessels are not just made to hold it in. We can't take stuff in. Maybe there's times in your life where you feel like you have something to share. Maybe you're 17. Maybe you have a little word. Maybe you read a scripture verse that blessed your soul last week, and you can share that. You can share that. You can say, this is something that blessed me, because it blesses God and it blesses your parents. It blesses the whole realm of the kingdom of God. It brings honor to Him. So as fathers and husbands, we talked a lot on youth and young people. As fathers and husbands, God wants to fill our vessels with mercy. He wants to fill us with discernment, with judgment, with love, with praying and rejoicing. When our vessels are full of these things and we continue to dump them out upon the people of God, then there's a lasting effect happens. People change. They change, and you can see change in their life. Thessalonians, I like to turn to Thessalonians. A few scriptures I'd like to read here. First, before we get to Thessalonians, I'd like to read 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. It says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Next scripture is Thessalonians 5, verses 12 to 24. This is Paul exhorting the brethren. And I thought that this is this young person exhorting all the other young people. And if you're blessed as 40 and up, then you can be exhorted also. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them that labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and to be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. This here, as I read these verses, it inspired me. I know these are plain, practical verses, and that's why it's always an inspiration to me. When I read them things, I read, pray without ceasing. Denny shared on that this morning. And everything give thanks. When I read some of these things, I'm convicted of these things. I'm not like stepping up a ladder to them and I have these all mastered. But as I read these things, and then at the end of verse 22, we get the question that arises many a times from the littlest children to the 40-year-olds. I'll just say that. What is wrong with that and why can't I do this? And we look at them verses there. Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearances of evil. And I read that verse yesterday afternoon and I thought, why do we abstain from all appearances of evil? It's not just so we can be better than everyone else. It's that the promise of God would make an effective work in our life. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. That's what the Word of God says. That's why we abstain from all appearance of evil. That the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It all has to do with where we're headed. It all has to do with our motives. If we're here today because we want to be better than someone else, then we're probably not a good vessel of honor. But if we want to serve God, if we want to abstain from evil and bring glory and honor to his name, and everything give thanks, maybe through a time where there's a trial, there's a big trial, and you don't know how things are going to end up. But if you can knee down on your knees and say, I thank you, Lord, for this thing, because I want to bring honor to your name. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7, it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us. We have this treasure, all those things that I shared in Thessalonians, and many more you could add to those things. We have these treasures in earthen vessels. As a thought come to my mind this forenoon, we are open unto the plan of God. May God have his way. It blessed me to see that in the end of verse 22. We want liberty. We sang that beautiful song of liberty this morning. There really is no one telling us that we can't stay up till late at night and read the word and pray. That's beautiful liberty. But sometimes the liberties we want are not for the honor and glory of God. And I can see that as a young man. Sometimes we want to kind of shed away some things that have a good thing in our life, have a good purpose in our life. John chapter 12. Verses 25 and 26. Says, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And as I read down, them are the words of Jesus. Jesus says, if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And who doesn't want to be honored by the Father of heaven? It feels good today to be honored by your earthly father. It does for me to be honored by your earthly grandfather. And sometimes it don't always work that way because, as I shared earlier, there's revival and there's things happen. But seek to be an honor. Seek to be an honor to those around you in the church. In Thessalonians it says, to the brethren and to those all around. It's my own words. You can be an honorable vessel to a dark, sinful world. It doesn't come by just floating through life. It's study. 2 Timothy 3 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study to show thyself approved. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow after righteousness and faith and charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Them verses are a deep inspiration to me. If we think about that, if any man purge himself from these, and in Timothy, 2 Timothy 3, the verses before, verse 21, it's vain babblings and there's different things there. The vessels of honor and gold and silver and wood and some of dishonor and some of honor. But if any man purge himself of these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use. So this morning, as I thought of that, I know there could be a lot more to share. There's we only touched the surface. We only touched the surface, and it's just a portion of the word. It's something that was burning on my heart. In Romans chapter 12, the last few verses I have to share. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So that's all I have in Scripture. In closing, I have something I wrote down here. In closing, God will use a vessel near him. God will use a vessel near him. An empty one. A clean one. A person willing to be used. Do we want to be a useful vessel? If we do, be near to him. Let us not be occupied with the things of this world. Let us be clean and willing. Jesus is glorified with that today. There's another story. There was once a man had an application in a local paper. He said, handyman needed. The handyman, this man come walking into his home, and he said, I'd like to apply for the handyman job that you have. And I shared this with my family yesterday, and everybody kind of laughed. But I want to share with us, as maybe this is more young people. Me and down, 40 and down. Maybe you don't know what your vessel's for. But this man come and he knocked on the door and he said, I'd like to take that offer. I'd like to take that job for that handyman job. Well, he took him in, sat him down. And he said, well, do you know anything about framing? And he said, no. He said, do you know anything about electrical? And he said, no. He said, do you know anything about plumbing, insulation? And he said, no. He said, I don't know nothing. He said, then why are you here? He said, well, you see, sir, he said, I just live around the corner. I'm available. And I tell you that it don't take very long to teach somebody how to do plumbing, electrical, and insulation, and drywall, and framing, if he's available. But if he's not available, it's tough. I shared that with my family, and I thought that'd be a blessing in the local church body here. If we're available, all of us together, now including 40 and on up, we all want to make ourselves available. And then when we make ourselves available, we make ourselves vulnerable to take some hits. But it's okay because we're not our own. We're bought with a price. So with that, that's all I have to share today. May God in heaven receive his glory. Receive his glory. Glory and honor. He deserves it from my life more than he ever did. I see my needs. I see my family's needs of being an honorable vessel in a local body that I'm part of here. I praise the Lord for it. I praise the Lord for each one of you. But don't be occupied by this world. Don't allow our vessels. Let's not let our vessels be filled with garbage and then spill it out upon the people of God. And then it brings forth fruit. But the same way, in the same token, if we fill our vessels with the things that we share today, it will bring forth fruit. It'll bring forth fruit under righteousness. May God be praised, and continue to pray for us as a family.